Copyright 2023, Bassandi Publishing, LLC. The following reading is from an unedited manuscript of an upcoming novel, The Road to Nineveh, by Charles Bassandi. Chapter 1. Charlie Austin's Backbeat Ranch, Uvalde County, Texas, May 2041. Charlie Austin turned away from the computer monitor, irritated that the wind and hail now lashing the cabin had distracted him from the video session with his newest friend, Trixie. "Be right back. Got to check the weather outside," Charlie said to the image of a young woman on the monitor. He swiveled in his chair and stood up.
"Don't be long, Charlie. We're running out of time," Trixie said.
Charlie thought her reminder about the time was well played, even delicate. She could have coldly told him that only 10 minutes remained in the private time he had purchased. He didn't like to think that once his time was over, she'd switch to a different video feed and a different customer. No, it was more palatable to pretend she was only interested in him. And she was his for just as much time as he wanted to buy. Peering through the window in his den, he couldn't see enough details outside, so he walked down a short hallway and into a room that he called the mud room, a place to take off dirty shoes and clothes after a stroll around the ranch. The small room had a washer and dryer on one side, a neat workbench on the other, and a wooden stool next to the door on which to sit while removing boots. The floor was bare concrete, unlike the expensive tile and area rugs that adorned the other rooms in the house. A sturdy metal and wood door led from the mudroom outside to a small covered deck. He opened the door slowly a few inches, but the power of the wind nearly ripped it out of his hands. He pulled it shut. With both hands holding the knob securely, he opened the door again a few inches. The wind tugged at the door like an angry beast. Rain and hail were pouring sideways into the door opening. He was going to get soaked, but he wanted to check the clouds and wind while there was still light remaining in the day. Charlie wouldn't have thought twice about the storm, except now after 5 months living on the ranch in south central Texas, he knew better than to ignore thunderstorms. Thunderstorms often brought high wind and hail that could decimate property. They also brought flash floods. And with Charlie's cabin above the Nueces River, the possibility of flooding had to be taken seriously. And of course, thunderstorms can become tornadoes. He forced his way through the door. Stepping off the deck onto the gravel, he walked about 20 feet away from the house. Jagged bolts of lightning lit the sky. Every few seconds, thunder pounded his ears like amplified drums. The hail had stopped, but the rain was cold and stung his face. From the elevated vantage point on the ranch, Charlie could see west in the failing light across the Nueces River to the bluffs and hills in the distance. The sky to the west was a black, menacing wall of clouds headed in his direction. Charlie's initial irritation and curiosity about the weather turned to fear. He turned back to the house, the wind pushing him hard. Inside, forgetting about his soaked clothes, he dashed back to the den. Trixie was gone from the computer monitor. He didn't care. He clutched his cell phone and tapped it on. A weather alert message glowed in red. "Tornado watch in effect through 8 p.m. throughout Uvalde County." Charlie didn't bother to read further. He immediately turned to the weather website he and the other locals relied on for accurate forecasts. The Doppler radar picture that displayed on the monitor was frightening. The worst of the storm was going to pass over Charlie's ranch within an hour. Charlie's phone buzzed again. Another alert. The tornado watch had been upgraded to a tornado warning, meaning somewhere in the vicinity, a funnel had touched ground. "Refresh browser," Charlie gave a verbal command to his computer. The web page blinked and redrew on the screen, a small area of violet color within a large band of deep red had been circled by the meteorologist. This, he said, was an area of rotating wind. The tornado had probably touched down there. No reports from the ground had been received yet to confirm it. The funnel would move in a northeasterly direction. Charlie looked more closely at where on the map the meteorologist had drawn the circle. Based on the roads and Nueces River that Charlie recognized, his ranch was just to the northeast of the circle. He was in harm's way. This was serious. He decided to gather his emergency kit and take cover in the pantry. It was the only interior room without windows. He reached for his cell phone on the desk to take with him. No sooner had he placed the phone in a back pocket when he heard a pop sound. The computer and all the lights went out, leaving him standing dripping wet in the dark as the fury of the storm shook the house. Feeling his way in the dark to the hall closet, Charlie retrieved the bug-out bag off the shelf and moved carefully into the walk-in pantry. He sat on the floor, back to a wall, and fished a flashlight from the bag. With the flashlight on, he inspected the pantry's contents. A case of bottled water on the shelf to his left. The other shelves were lined with canned and bottled food. Man, why did you think this room was safe in a tornado? Look at all the canned goods and heavy objects in here. If the house gets ripped apart, you're going to get pummeled. Charlie chuckled nervously. Would his death certificate claim cause of death as a canned peach concussion? While Charlie familiarized himself with the content of the bug-out bag he had bought 6 months ago, he noticed the noise outside had subsided significantly. Hey, maybe it missed me. He stood, flashlight in hand, thinking a look outside was prudent. 3 steps down the hallway, he knew he was in trouble. The quietness outside was replaced by a roar. A roar like that of a locomotive headed his way. He pivoted to make a dash back to the pantry, forgetting all about the killer cans of peaches waiting there. He heard ripping and tearing just before everything around him exploded, and he was jerked into the air as if tied to some gigantic bungee cord. He sensed being jerked, tumbled, and twisted through the air. Objects were striking his body everywhere. He tried to cover his face and his hands, but the violence of the motion prevented it. His body struck something solid again and again, as if it was bouncing. A sharp pain pierced his ankle. His body flipped one more time before a sharp blow to the head made the world go black and still.